Timbers and Thorns matches. Marrakesh Moroccan Restaurant for providing dinner, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, featuring fixed-price meals as well as an a la carte menu served on pillow-low banquettes plus regular belly dancing.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Other September 11th, film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the Other September 11th on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at Fifth Avenue Cinema, 510 Southwest Hall Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland. The time is 5 p.m. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News on this special membership drive edition. Stay tuned.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, Klamath County Sheriff indicted on strangulation and assault charges.
Shell puts out of climate change. Shell pulls out of a climate change action coalition.
And the AFL-CIO releases a report on collective bargaining gains nationwide. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, September 11th, 2015. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. Good evening. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
And I'm Liam Delta. The Klamath County Sheriff has been indicted by a grand jury on charges of assault and strangulation after the Department of Justice launched an investigation last April into the conduct of the sheriff. Klamath County Sheriff Frank Scraw allegedly choked and beat two men, Kenneth Bragg and Jason Charles. Scraw allegedly strangled Kenneth Bragg and jammed his flashlight into the throat of Jason Charles. Seven officers from his department asked to be put on paid leave after being questioned by state investigators for fear they would face workplace retaliation. Sheriff Scraw has insisted on remaining in office despite the investigation, and although he denies any wrongdoing, he's agreed not to participate in any traffic or criminal stops, nor to have any interaction with suspects or inmates while the investigation is in progress. The sheriff's next court date is October 19th.
Nearly 2,000 sexual assault forensic evidence kits from cases dating back to 1985 were never submitted by Portland Police to the Oregon State Police Crime Lab for testing. But now, thanks to a $2 million grant from the Federal Department of Justice, those rape kits may finally be reviewed. According to Portland Police, there were a variety of reasons the kits were never tested. For instance, they were associated with cases that could not be prosecuted or cases where the victim decided not to participate in the investigation. But the greatest factor was lack of funding. Each kit cost about $1,000 to process. Once priorities are set for which kits to process first, they will be sent to private labs. Results will then be entered into a national DNA database. Meanwhile, funding from a separate source is enabling the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office to process an additional 935 untested kits discovered in smaller law enforcement agencies in Multnomah, Marion, and Lane counties. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office in New York awarded $38 million to 32 jurisdictions in 20 states, Multnomah County among them, to fund testing of 56,000 backlogged rape kits.
A federal judge has ordered Reed College to turn over nearly 7 years of student disciplinary files to lawyers in the case of a student suing both Reed and his ex-girlfriend for causing him to be, as he maintains, wrongly expelled and falsely labeled as a sex offender. This comes against the school's recent acknowledgement on its website that it issued more than 800 reports on crimes involving drugs, alcohol, and sex on its campus over a 3-year period ending in 2013. Both Reed's administration and the student's ex-girlfriend said the man wrongfully shared a homemade sex video, distributed drugs, and arranged group sex. One of the plaintiff's lawyers asked for Reed's records on disciplinary actions to investigate how Reed dealt with situations comparable to the case in question. The attorney specifically wants to see whether gender plays a role in decisions Reed makes.
The University of Washington researchers are testing a new earthquake alert system for the Pacific Northwest called Shake Alert. The system is meant to alert people throughout the region in advance of a catastrophic earthquake and a tsunami. According to some seismologists, the Northwest is overdue for a major seismic event from the 600-mile-long fault line off the coast. The fault line hasn't had a large quake since the 1700s, but seismologists say that one could happen in the near future. A 2013 report by a panel of Oregon experts said that the expected quake could result in thousands of deaths and cost over $32 billion in damages. There is scientific consensus that the Pacific Northwest experiences a 9.0 earthquake approximately every 500 years, and seismologists say one could occur at any time. Fears of an earthquake as bad as the Honshu quake that caused the nuclear meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant in Japan have fueled the development of a computer alert system. Officials say they hope the new system will save lives and protect infrastructure by giving people enough warning to get ready. The alerts are now going to companies like Boeing and Microsoft, as well as hospitals, utilities, and emergency management services in Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. Shake Alert, the program being developed by the University of Washington, would send out warnings that tell recipients when a trembler is developing.
The AFL-CIO released a report earlier today detailing the advances made in collective bargaining by unions across the U.S. workforce. 2015 has been a significant increase in improved contracts and wage increases, and 2016 is expected to further bolster those gains by unionizing an estimated 5 million more workers. KBOO's Ethan Martin spoke earlier today with Julie Farb, the AFL-CIO.
My name is Julie Farb, and I'm the director of the Center for Strategic Research in the organizing department at the AFL-CIO.
The AFL-CIO just released a report detailing the advances made by unions and employees in the areas of collective bargaining. We kind of just want to talk about that. I'm wondering, why is this year considered by the AFL-CIO to be the most expansive year for collective bargaining in recent history?
Well, I would say that, you know, most of the largest organized workforces are going to the bargaining table between now and the end of 2016. And we've looked at the largest contracts that are coming up for expiration in that time period, and we've estimated that close to 5 million workers are headed to the bargaining table.
So a lot of the expansiveness that is referred to is referring to potential gains or to future contracts that will be worked out rather than concrete ones that have been solidified during 2015?
It's nearly both. We've seen a lot of gains in the first half of 2015, and we expect to see more. In the first half of the year, we've seen about 300 or so contracts settled, representing over 400,000 workers. So we're talking about both what's already happened in the first half of the year and what's to come.
It seems like, at least in progressive media, there's a lot of coverage about the successful implementation of anti-union right-to-work laws, as well as the continued dominance of Scott Walker's anti-union policies in Wisconsin, and the slow but seemingly successful movement forward with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and its anti-union policies. How do these realities, anti-union realities, square with the AFL-CIO report?
Yeah, well, you know, collective bargaining is always tough for the reasons that you've just mentioned. It's still a very tough climate for working people as the economy continues to recover, but isn't fully there. But we know that if you're in a union, you at least have some voice in how the economic recession impacts you. And, you know, the key to continuing on a path of economic recovery is to expand collective bargaining rights. It's a key part of our ability to raise wages and improve working conditions is workers' ability to bargain with their employers.
Could you kind of elaborate on how collective bargaining positively influences the economy and the workplace in America in general?
Yes, sure. You know, when workers collectively bargain with their employers, we see higher wages, we see safer workplaces, we see benefits that protect workers and their families, and all these things, you know, have a ripple effect on the quality of life that people have and their ability to participate in the economy. I would also say that where there's union density and where workers are bargaining with their employers in particular industries and particular geographies, collective bargaining is raising the standards for everybody, not just union workers.
What specific sectors have benefited the most in the economy?
Are you talking about the first half of 2015, some of the big wins we've seen?
Either those or what sectors are projected to benefit the most?
Right. Well, I guess I would highlight a couple of contracts we've seen settled in the last 2 months. The National Nurses Union worker nurses were able to negotiate for raises of almost 4% over their three-year contract. In California, we've seen Boeing workers negotiate similar raises in their contracts already. And what we're anticipating coming up that we think will be very significant are the postal workers contract, Kaiser Permanente, which has a large Oregon workforce, and Oregon State employees as well, in addition to a handful of other states that where public sector workers are bargaining. So we've really seen it across sectors and nationwide.
I mean, I know this is an election year, and there's or it's leading up to the presidential election. There's a lot of stuff going on politically these days. And how has the political climate contributed to this improved upswing for unionized workers?
You know, I think the idea that inequality is an issue that needs to be addressed has become part of the narrative, just the general public narrative as well as in political conversations. And everybody wants to see wages rising right now. There's I think, recognition throughout the political sphere, throughout, you know, in economic conversations that continuing our economic recovery requires wages to rise more, and that the best way to do that is through collective bargaining, the democratic process of collective bargaining.
How does the national movement for a higher minimum wage, such as the movement in the various cities to implement a $15 minimum wage, how does that national movement play into this report as well?
We certainly support any efforts for increased minimum wages for living wages. Like collective bargaining, it's a way to set a minimum standard. Collective bargaining is different in that it's workers who know their industry, who know their occupations, who know the the place that they work very well, negotiating with their employers over these terms. And so it's a more sustainable and democratic way to raise wages and improve working conditions. But certainly, you know, we support any efforts to raise wages.
That was Julie Farb with the AFL-CIO, and this is Ethan Martin with KBOO News.
In related news, Shama Sawant is Seattle's outspoken socialist council member who succeeded in getting a $15 minimum wage implemented there, and she will be speaking with other economic justice activists at 7 o'clock tomorrow at the First Congressional United Church of Christ. This is a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard to bring you this newscast every day on national and international and local news. And now we would like you to join us. And joining us now are Jamie and Jenka to talk about how you can support KBOO.
That's right. It's KBOO's fall membership drive. So I want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 to become a KBOO member, or you can make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. I'm Jamie. I'm a volunteer programmer on KBOO's Labor Radio and also a reporter for KBOO News, and I also happen to be a community activist. I'm going to be speaking at that Shama Sawant event tomorrow night about the 15 now, the fight for 15. KBOO is a community. We create programming and we make the news and we report the news. You know, if you're a member of the working class, you know how important this kind of labor reporting is. Where else is labor reporting anywhere on any media today that you have access to? You
know, I hear Lars Larson talking a lot about workers, a lot of things, pretty negative things about workers.
So 70% of us are members of this working class.
At least.
Yes, you know, if you join KBOO, you become an owner. You join the owning class. Every one of the 4,500 members of own a piece of KBOO. And once you join, you know, you're a different person. You know, you get to vote for the board, you serve on committees, you get to volunteer, gather news, put on your own show, join the owning class. Now, how can people join the owning class, Jenka?
The number to call, and I want you to very carefully listen to this. If you can't call right now, maybe you have to remember it, 877-500-KBOO. But I'm hoping that this is the moment that you call, because we actually need to raise $420 in the next 44 minutes, and I know that we can do it. 420, come on, people. Let's pull it together. Let's make this goal, and let's make our ultimate goal of $95,000 for the drive, but at least make the goal for this show. If we have someone who could give $10 a month, that will get us close to that. If you can give $45 a month, that is actually pretty doable for some people. $45 a month is probably less than your cell phone bill. It's less than your Comcast if you have that. So if you can afford that, $45 a month for KBOO, then you'll be our hero of the hour. 877-500-5266. And to make it a little sweeter, we've got thank you gifts. So if you can give $10 a month, you can get that Chinook book. Actually, I calculated it's only $7.50 a month or more. You could give $10 to round it up. Get the Chinook book. That's $7,000 worth of savings all around town, all local businesses. Support your community and support your radio station there by calling 877-500-5266. If you're not familiar with what you're hearing right now, this is a membership drive. This is different from commercial radio. We don't have advertisers that pay us thousands of dollars to put ads on the station. Instead, we have you, the listener, the community member who participates in this radio station, whether it's by giving time or by giving a monthly contribution. Whatever way you can give, that makes this station possible. We interrupt the programming a couple of times a year just to ask for your support so that we can keep this going. And it works. People give. People call. We haven't had anyone call in the news hour yet, so we need you to be the one to get this ball rolling and to raise this 420 by 6 o'clock. I know we can do it. I need you to be the one. Be the hero of the news hour. Whether it's $5 a month, $10 a month, whether it's $45 a month, We want you to be the one to call right now and help this station and help yourself get your daily news, get your information and analysis, and get your independent local music. 877-500-5266. $5 a month will get you a t-shirt, a KBOO t-shirt, or a book. We've got several books. We have left two books left from this morning, Data and Goliath. If you heard that interview on Digital Divide this morning about the hidden battles to capture your data and control your world and what you can do to take your information back from the surveillance state, that's a $5 a month contribution, so pick that up. 877-500-5266. Of course, the real gift being your community radio station that you're giving back to yourself day after day.
You know, Jenka, continuing the working class metaphor here, think about joining KBOO like joining a union. It's your choice. It's an open shop. You can benefit from the information, the tools, the inspiration that KBOO provides you. You can be a free rider. Or you can join your sisters and brothers in solidarity to build a stronger, more effective voice for social change in Portland, in the world, because we're all over the world on the internet. It's up to you. Join now.
You'll benefit either way. I mean, you listen, you get the news and information, whether you contribute or not. But when you contribute, you are doing your civic duty. You are helping other people who maybe are imprisoned, maybe don't have any money at all. They're stuck in getting 5 cents an hour or 10 cents an hour for a forced labor job. You're helping that person to get KBOO down in Salem. We know they listen and maybe are listening right now. We've heard from many prisoners who are very thankful that we're on the air. Maybe you're giving this gift to a child who doesn't have the monetary means to give KBOO, but yet is learning so much by listening to the Youth Radio Hour, to listening to all of the music programming, learning about all kinds of different cultures and different parts of the world. And maybe you're giving for someone who just doesn't have the means. Maybe you're someone who has a job. You're lucky enough to be employed in this economy, and you have the means to give $5 a month. You're helping yourself, and you're helping your community. 877-500-5266. If you just called and your call dropped, call back again. We are really happy to take your call. And sometimes there's a problem, the phone might drop, but call us back. If there's a busy signal, that means our phone lines are tied up, but that's okay. Call back again. We need you to call. Make that 420 this hour. 877-500-5266. We need to make $420, and we need you to do it. There's no other person that's going to step up and do this but you.
And we have an opportunity, some opportunities to sweeten the pot. If you can come up with $625 a month, that's a $75 membership. We can offer you a 4-gig KBOO USB flash drive filled with MP3s and podcasts to play exclusive content only from KBOO. You'll hear never before broadcast talk by the late Manning Marable on how capitalism underdeveloped Black America, Cornel West speaking recently in Portland, Arresting Power, which was an amazing panel discussion on police violence and racism in Portland.
Film, man, that's by KBOO program director Aaron Yankee, along with others at Arresting Power. It's amazing.
It's got exclusive treasures from the KBOO archives, a 1969 interview with Pete Seeger, Margaret Mead from 1968, Bell Hooks, Paul Robeson from 1957, W.B. Du Bois from 1964. I mean, this is the kind of
gems.
Activists straight from the frame from the horse's mouth. Stokely Carmichael, 1973. Eldridge Cleaver, 1998. You can get this just for a $75 membership, $625 a month. You can pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266.
You know, I said nobody else is going to do it. Maybe you're thinking somebody else is going to do it, and you know, we've got 4,500, 5,000 people doing it, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be the one, because we haven't had that person yet this hour. So you could be the one right now to make a difference for the news, for the community radio, for your public information that you get here, the news, the analysis that you get here at KBOO. We want you to be the one. Even if you think someone else is going to do it, we want you. 877-500-5266.
This is a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. You can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program. Just call 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Counterspin at 5:30 after this newscast, followed by Bread and Roses at 6. Tonight we'll feature an interactive feminist poetry show. At 7, Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tomorrow's weather is sunny with a high of 89, and Sunday mostly sunny with a high of 77. Today in history, in 1893, the Parliament of the World's Religions opened in Chicago, where Swami Vivekananda delivered a speech on fanaticism, tolerance, and the truth inherent in all religions. And in 1940, George Stibitz became the first to remotely operate a computer. The quote of the day is from Gore Vidal. Any American who is prepared to run for president should automatically, by definition, be disqualified from ever doing so.
Shell Oil has pulled out of the Prince of Wales Corporate Leaders Group, which has pushed for legislation to address climate change. One member of the group told reporters that when the group started 10 years ago, Shell seemed to as keen as anyone else on reducing emissions and tackling climate change. But now, with its activities in the Canadian tar sands and the Arctic, it's become clear that that's no longer the case. The departure from the Climate Action Group comes a week after the CEO of Shell said in an interview, quote, oil will be required for a long time, end quote. The Prince of Wales Corporate Leaders Group, which includes Lloyd's Banking Group, Tesco, and Unilever, has played an important role in lobbying for legislation such as the Climate Change Act. That act commits the United Kingdom to reducing its carbon emissions by at least 80% from what they were in 1990 by the year 2050. In other international news, President Obama has told his administration to take in at least 10,000 displaced Syrians over the next year. The announcement came as the administration comes under increasing pressure to demonstrate that the U.S. is joining European nations in the effort to resettle Syrian refugees. Western concerns over the flood of refugees from Syria have led a number of top politicians to call for increased intervention in the country. But some analysts point out that it's Western intervention that has led to the crisis that exists now. For more, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with James Paul, the author of Syria Unmasked and former executive director of the Global Policy Forum.
Could you talk about the term regime change refugees?
Sure. As we know, there's a tremendous number of refugees heading into Europe across the Mediterranean and up to what is called the land pathway into Europe. And most of those refugees are coming from countries where there has been Western military intervention. And in particular, we see refugees coming from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, and other places where there has been directly or indirectly U.S. and European military intervention, where existing governments have been overthrown and civil wars have broken out. And so it's quite clear from everything people are saying about those refugees that they're coming primarily, they're not economic, so-called economic refugees, but they're coming because their lives are threatened and their country has just become unlivable for them.
And these are mainly countries that have had Western military intervention. And now a lot of the discourse right now is on a potential no-fly zone in Syria or increased Western military intervention there. What do you think it would be the problem with that type of response?
Well, of course, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to be supporting more intervention when the intervention before was being justified in terms of somehow bringing peace, democracy, and what have you to these countries. If, in fact, that was what we're seeing today as a result of those prior interventions, it seems quite logical that further interventions are not going to solve this problem, but actually make it worse. And, in fact, the existing interventions that are justified by Western governments to try to do something about the crisis, for example, the Western bombing in Syria that's supposedly bombing the Islamic State forces there is creating still greater chaos in that country and hitting a lot of civilians and driving them up.
Now, Richard Falk, a former Mideast peace envoy, put out a piece calling for a diplomatic response and bringing in Iran and Russia in order to achieve a diplomatic resolution in Syria. Do you see that as a possibility?
Well, there's been an effort to bring in Iran and Russia all along by the United Nations. Sophie Hannan was the first special envoy of the Secretary General, and he certainly pushed that along. And Lakhdar Brahimi, the Algerian former foreign minister, who was a very, very able diplomat, worked for several years to try to pursue that. And the United States, Britain, and France, the primary Western actors, refused to have anything to do with this. So I think we have to see this as being part of a conflict that is with Russia at the end of the day, or that Russia is a very important part of it, and they don't